is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
Well, that was a weird one last night in the NFL. There's a lot to get to. We will get into all of that starting here in just a couple of moments from now. It's two pros and a cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington. It's Brady Quinn. It's Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are, making us a part of your Friday. It's a football Friday, as Brady likes to point out here on FSR.
Yeah,
and we'll take you
right,
all the
baby.
Way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific.
Well, football
here.
Football Friday.
Damn right.
Yeah. They're almost over.
Yeah. Who's even playing today?
Well, we're getting playoffs in high school still.
You see how he goes?
Hold on. Are you going to let me answer? Are you going to just be rude? Pac-12 championship?
Yeah.
Okay. There's that happening, and it's a football Friday. I mean, we're just we're trying to nobody cares about the other games. All right.
It's
nobody
still a state champion. It's state playoffs.
Yeah. It is. That's so big.
Yeah. State playoffs. Yeah. So, at the high school level.
Now, I don't know if anybody can take any positives from last night. I mean, the Cowboys won.
That's the positive.
Okay.
Without their head coach.
Man.
I do have a bone to pick with you, though, Jones.
Well, what's the bone?
Well, the bone is you portrayed this image of, you know, the interim head coach last night, Dan Quinn, who took over for Mike McCarthy. He was on the COVID list, right? He started the game off with his hat forwards.
Yeah,
he then switched to a hat backwards.
That is very correct.
Oh, you tried to contend that we lost out.
He told on himself. That's all.
He tried to act like you and I, because we picked the forward hat, that we lost out on the prop bet monster. The reality is he started the game with his hat forward. He then likes a Sylvester Stallone and over the top, flipped the switch, and he turned it backwards.
Yeah, Jonas wasn't watching I'm saying.
What are you I watched the game.
He started off with his hat on forward.
So what?
He then flipped the switch.
We actually won
the bet.
Did he or did he not have his hat on forward or backwards majority of the game?
Well, he had it on both.
Majority rules.
No, that's not how it goes.
Yes, it is.
That's how he started.
What do you mean it's not how it goes? I'm the author of the prop bet monster. I'm the sports book.
You would have had to have said, is he going to start with his hat forward and end up turning it backwards?
Yeah.
Or is he going to start with it backwards? Is he going to start with it forward and then go backwards and start backwards, go forward or to the side?
Let me tell you what this is. Brady Quinn is too competitive for his own good. He has been pulling this same racket for 5 years together.
Though. Come on,
He's the type of guy. If he loses a heads or tails, he's going to check
aggressive.
To see. He's going to check to see whether or not there's a. There,
of course,
there,
I will. Yeah, of course, I will. Why won't you?
I mean,
look,
at some point,
I want to get in a movie reference to Over the Top, where Lincoln Hawk flips his switch.
Ooh, then
My brother Dan Quinn, we're probably related somewhere, did last night. All right.
Listen,
he flipped the switch. They turned it up a little bit in that fourth quarter. Taysom Hill looked awful.
He did. Okay. All right. Now that we get to the actual football aspect of the game, I mean, at least we're going to get to see Ian Book pretty quick, I would imagine. I mean, that's that was a rough.
What are we waiting on?
I don't know.
Seriously, what are we waiting on at this point?
Okay, because let's defend Taysom Hill just in this regard. It did seem like his hand was dinged up a little bit. Like when he was throwing the ball afterwards, after he, you know, hit his finger on whatever and he had to come out with a splint. It did seem like
finger, dude. It's the same thing Russell's dealing.
So you could tell right away. That's exactly what happened.
That is my guess. Look, now I am not Dr. Chow, who comes on with us from time to time and does that professionally. That is my guess as far as what happened and why he was struggling then afterwards, especially when you saw, a couple of those passes kind of tail off. Not obviously the Watkins one, but I don't know if it was the Diggs or who it was earlier. In the fourth quarter, that one you could see he just couldn't get it up over the defender,
and so that's the telltale sign that there's an issue there.
Well, the moment they put that splint on it, that they're trying to straighten it out. They didn't buddy tape it; they splinted it. So that was what led
me to
believe.
Explain them what buddy tape means.
Okay, so
I know what buddy tape is.
Go ahead, tell us what buddy.
Well,
tape
I don't want you reading off my notes, so just go ahead and take.
All right, so buddy taping is when you take and you tape two fingers together. because you're anchoring one to the other to give it the stability that it needs. So the fact that they only taped one finger with a splint right there where the mallet is at the top of the finger would lead you to believe that it was the same type of injury that happened with. Now, to the degree of you know, how bad it is, I don't know, but.
Hey, can we get a round of applause, by the way? That was very well done.
Well, yeah.
Very
you.
Well done
thank
by
you.
LeVar. That was like a great medical explanation of exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And what it was.
Thank
that was
you.
Awesome.
Well, thank you.
So
I'll give you a great medical, you know, kind of
breakdown of
antidote of what happened on defense.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought we were going a different
no,
route.
No, no.
It's Friday. I know we're getting this on a Friday. So
I'm going to use my Chris Collins word for this. No.
What happened on defense there, LeVar?
The Dallas Cowboys defense is giving them the chance to keep their season alive. I mean, and listen, where you thought a it's a very, very anemic offense right now for the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, they got bailed out. Like, you need the run. And we've talked about how the run has not been what it's needed to be on a consistent basis. You needed the run. Pollard delivered a run, and that kind of bailed them out. Well, he got all his yards on one run.
What was going on with Marcus Williams there? Take us through that as a defender, because I don't know if he forgot where he was on the field and he didn't want Pollard to cut back against him.
By the way, he's done that before. He was also the guy who whiffed and tried to tackle a ghost on the Minneapolis
Miracle. So in his defense, he took a bad angle there underneath. Now he waited too long to take any
turn
angle.
It on, yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking he thought he was going to try to cut back on him, and that's why he was like just jogging with him for like 30 yards.
I think that's one of the weirdest things I've ever watched. Like,
I gotta say, that's a scary place to be, that far away from everybody else, and you got a back that can cut the way that Pollard cuts. So he was probably trying to maintain leverage on him. But I mean, why not just go ahead and commit to do it? Because you're not going to beat him to. You're not going to get to him in time anyway.
He looked like one of those cameramen who's doing a shoot and they're following a car on the side.
That's fair. he kept a healthy distance from him. He didn't even close the distance.
He was the equivalent. I call that Switzerland. Like, he just didn't want to get involved.
Yeah,
he was like, I could do something here. It looks like I should do something, but I'm just not going to get involved.
But then he got close enough at the end to push him. Like, if you could get that close at that point, then you should have got that close sooner.
All right, so is that one of those ones you've talked about this where they're in the defensive meeting and they'd start pointing the clicker at it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're going to tear him. Well, they won the game, so they won't tear him up. But they yes, they will get
Marcus
him.
Marcus Williams,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, Dan Quinn will get him.
No, Marcus of the Saints.
Oh, the Saints, excuse me. Yeah, they will get him.
I mean, that was – all right, so with the Taysom Hill situation – what do you think, do you think he's looking at this situation going, all right, I mean, do we blame it on the injury? Do we just say, are we just, you know, get Trevor Siemian back out there? I mean, at some point, you just have to acknowledge you're done. It's over. You don't have the quarterback. Injuries have done damage to this team. Clearly, offensive line last night. Alvin Kamara still out again. I mean, it's like at some point, when do you turn the page? And now you got people that are throwing this stuff out there like, well, who knows if Sean Payton will be back? There's some conversation that maybe Sean Payton and the Saints would decide to part ways if they go in a different direction, which seems crazy to me. But at what point do they say, all right, at least let's throw Ian Book in. At least let's see something because Taysom Hill ain't it.
I mean, I'm with you on the Ian Book part of things. Put him in, see what you got in him before, you know, you let the rest of the season go to the wayside. The problem with that is veterans in the locker room, especially veterans who have been a part of this team, because they have been extremely successful getting to the playoffs. Those guys are going to see that as a signal of one of two things, but probably more the latter. The first thing is trying to find a spark, trying to do something to generate some more offense, get better quarterback play, and get a win. The latter is, well, now they're thinking about 2022. Now they're thinking about the future of the team. And so if the Saints collectively, if that staff, that organization wants to think about their future as a veteran, I need to start thinking about my future.
Self-preservation. Yeah.
So that's where you start to see some guys who maybe have got something that needs to get cleaned up in the offseason. They're like, yeah, it's time. I'm going to go get surgery on that now. Or, you know, they've got some lingering issues that are going to prevent them or keep them out from some games. So that's unfortunately, I think, where this could be headed for the Saints. I just don't see them being a playoff team now. At least if they keep Taysom Hill in there, now that Jameis is out, Trevor Siemian wasn't the answer. Ian Book, you've got to put him in there at some point and at least give him a shot to see what you have. But this season's kind of falling by the wayside very quickly.
Yeah, it's this is going to be a fun offseason to see what happens in New Orleans and then Dallas. We can spend time.
Oh, there's a lot going on in Louisiana. Louisiana.
that's a very good.
A whole lot of things going on down there in that bayou.
Smooth. That's weird. LeVar, it's almost like your accent just changed.
I know.
I know.
Once I got that, them 7-8 figure they brought that down my way. That boy though, I went and got me some crawfish, some corn.
Oh man. Well, that's better than what we heard last night. By the way,
you go out there, you can get yourself some beignets. You get yourself a hurricane. You can drink that when you walk down that street down there. Boy, you got to make sure you're clean and you make sure you stay warm out here in them cold streets down there on that Bourbon Street.
That's good. Here's 95 million. That's very well done.
Hello. I know I wouldn't lose my Louisiana Southern accent, but I got $90 million.
We are brought to you by Discover. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox is two pros and a cup of Joe here on FSR. Coming up next, has somebody been lying to us for a couple of decades now? We will get into the bottom of it. It's a football story right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So these are some interesting comments and what it means to the future for one quarterback in the NFL. We'll get into all of that here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are making us a part of your Friday, as Brady Quinn dubbed it, a football Friday here on FSR. And we'll
dubbed
take you all the way
Dublin.
Up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. So, yeah.
Should I start talking in an Irish accent?
That is the move. By the way, I saw Adrian Martinez is entering the transfer portal. Yeah. He seems like he's been at Nebraska since the 80s.
It does.
Holy
like
God. Is it just because he started all 4 years,
he
right?
He came right after Brooke Baringer. He's just been there.
Check out Britton Covey. All right, go look at when he first burst on the scene at Utah, because, as you said, it's a football Friday. We have the Pac-12 championship game tonight. Utah won the Pac-12 South. They're playing Oregon. Go look up Britton Covey for Utah. I believe he started his career, I think, in 2014 in Utah.
He's 24 years old.
Dang. Yeah.
What?
Well, I mean, hold
did
on
Did he go
now.
On a mission?
Sometimes people okay. can be really old playing ball.
Yeah, Wanky
right,
was...
Right, but he went on a mission. That was part
okay,
of it.
Yeah. All right.
And then the other part of it is he's just been there the entire time. Maybe 2015 was his first season. But, yeah, he is... I feel like he's been there forever because as a freshman, he was a really good receiver and returner for him, and he's kind of always been that throughout his career. So, like, that dude I feel like has been in college football for an eternity.
Hey, man. If you can play as long as you can play, why not? I mean, that's why Russell Wilson left and went to Wisconsin, right? Because the story is Mike Glennon beat him out for the job at NC State. Is that what the story was
not
back in the day?
Not beat him out. Basically, I believe, was it Tom O'Brien who was the coach at the time?
I don't remember.
He said, Russell was kind of focused on baseball and football, and he felt like it wasn't right if he wasn't going to be there all the time or he wasn't as focused on football, and he went ahead and went with Mike Glennon, or Glennon, as some people have called
Glennon.
Him, instead of
long
Russell.
Neck blonde.
Yeah, he does have a long neck.
Yes.
That is
yeah.
a long neck.
Very long.
Yeah.
Him and Davis Mills.
Yeah.
Long necks.
Very long.
All right.
Very long necks.
Let's get off this before we all get fired. All right, so let's get into a conversation here. So the Cleveland Browns finally have a bye week. It only took 13 weeks, but they finally get a bye week, and they probably desperately need it. They are banged up. They've been dealing with injuries throughout the course of the year, some drama with Odell Beckham Jr. Clearly, Baker Mayfield, not 100%. Jack Conklin got hurt, which, by the way, the video of him trying to walk off the field and his knee collapses and he almost falls, like that is terrifying. Yeah. And so Baker Mayfield is the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. He's getting a lot of heat, and there's been some criticism about whether or not he's going to be there long term, and his performance this year, it's been very, very up and down. And you know, his general manager Andrew Berry spoke about the situation regarding his quarterback and where he stands with the organization.
He's worked through injuries no different than, you know, other players on our roster, you know, but I know, you know, he expects of himself, and we expect, you know, him, you know, whenever he's on the field, to perform at a capable level, at a winning level. And we expect him to play his best football down the stretch here after the bye. Baker's our quarterback. He's healthy enough to win games for us. He has won games for us in the past couple of weeks. If he's ready to go, you know, he's going to be our starter. Baker is incredibly physically tough. Yeah, I think he's told you guys, you know, at moments of the year where he's been frustrated with this, you know, with his own performance. You know, that being said, you know, he has had stretches, you know, this year where, you know, he has played well for us.
I mean, so here he's saying, listen, he's injured, but, you know, he's healthy enough to win games for us. But it looks like he's totally compromised, like health-wise. Everything seems like it hurts. And I don't know if it's going to be like a multiple surgery off-season form or whatever the hell it's going to be, but he looks like he's just trying to survive the year right now. He looks totally shot.
It's a tough spot to be in, too, when you go back to before the season, what the narrative was around this team. You know, last year, making it to the playoffs, beating the Pittsburgh Steelers, it seemed like this was going to be the hot team where if they kind of caught fire late in the season, maybe they're challenging the Kansas City Chiefs because they've played them so close in the AFC Championship game. But now that looks extremely in doubt, in part because just how the season has gone for them, but I just think because of his health. They need him at 100% to operate within this offense in order for them to have a shot against the Chiefs, at least in my opinion. Or, for that matter, maybe even the Bills and Patriots, too, with the way the AFC playoff picture is looking. So it's like now it's just like, can they get to the playoffs? Because I feel like they're limping there. And, you know, instead of, can this team actually surpass and be that surprise Super Bowl team we see pop out every once in a while?
Yeah, listen, I look at the Baker Mayfield situation, and he's had so much riding on this season. And it's just, in a lot of ways, you're finding out a lot about him outside of just looking at it from the, we're judging his character. You're finding out a lot about his grit and his toughness. He really is banged up.
Yeah.
And he's still going out there. And this organization, this coaching staff, still feels as though he is the best option for them to try to win games at the health, you know, level he's at right now. So, to me, that says a lot. Again, when I covered the game, the one thing that I realized when I was doing the interviews with the different players, one of the players said unsolicited, he's the guy I want to play with and that I would play for, and I wouldn't want to play for anyone else. And I thought that spoke volumes of what maybe the relationship is between Baker and the other fellas in the locker room, because that has been a point of emphasis and focus for quite some time now. So, to me, looking at Baker, I think he does give them the best opportunity to win, but that's only if you're able to get your running game back up to snuff. So, listen, you got Hunt back, you have Chubb, you don't have your line all the way healthy as we mentioned and detailed earlier, but this is a team that has to run the ball first and establish that pulling the defense and making the defense take that moment of time to read the run versus just jumping into the passing lanes. So, and that makes it easier for Baker. It makes it more so, really, it makes it easier for these receivers, because I just didn't see very many receivers getting open You know, they weren't beating coverages. They weren't pulling away from defenders. So I think a lot of times the reason why the running attack is helping is because of the ability to run the ball.
And Landry's been banged up, but really for the first time in his career, because he always played through everything, and he's gotten banged up this year.
He's been like, moving
there's been problems, man, on that core and on that offense in total. I just the one thing I always feel bad for when it comes to, like, people talk about, you know, well, you know, why is his wife speaking out on social media and making comments? And, you know, why are they? It's because she lives with that guy. She knows what the hell he's going through every day that we don't get to see, that you guys know firsthand better than anybody. And so when you see him sort of bite back at the media or make a comment or have a little bit of an attitude, people go, oh, God, here goes Baker again. He just can't, you know, he's such a hothead. Like, we have no idea the level of pain that he's going through every single week to try and get out there and gut it out. And then to understand all of that's happening, he's, you know, looking at a potential big money contract on the table, life-changing wealth on the table to be a franchise quarterback and get paid like it. And he can't even perform the way he wants to perform because his body's completely shot right now. I mean, he's got dealing with injuries all over, up and down. And I feel bad for athletes in particular, in this case, Baker Mayfield, having to wear it like he's wearing it when he's clearly not 100%. It's terrible. Just awful situation for him. But he's going to make a lot of money, millions and millions of dollars, and then we can all throw it.
Yeah, but when is that going to happen? And I think that's a lot of the stress and pressure that Brady, that Baker is feeling right now. And, you know, when you're in years where it's not necessarily a contract year, but you would like for it to be a contract year, you definitely want your play to do the talking for you, and not so much to justify it to the people that are going to pay it, but to justify it to your teammates. Because the moment you get that new contract, the first thing people are calling you is new money. They're looking at you, and everybody starts to immediately measure and weigh where you're deserving of that contract. You never want to be the player, especially at the quarterback's position. You never want to be the player that your teammates are looking at you like, they paid him. You know, you just don't want to be that guy. So to me, I just think that, you know, it's something that, you know, Baker wants to put his best foot forward, and that's playing a large part on, and that's weighing on him and creating frustration for him, because he's trying to put his best foot forward, but his best foot is bruised. You know, his knee, the knee on that best foot is bruised. You know, the other knee on the other side bruised. The shoulder on the other side is bruised. And he's trying to put together a good campaign, and it hasn't worked out in the way that he probably would have liked for it to worked out.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of football left to be played.
True.
The bye week can be special for you. I mean, it really can rejuvenate you, get you going back in the right direction with some rest, you know, a little recovery and all that. So hopefully he's feeling better, and this team is kind of at a different spot here coming out of the bye. But, you know, they got a chance. I mean, they're not out of it. They still have a chance. It's just they got to start playing some of their best football like we kind of thought they were going to be coming into the season.
It's a Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. By the way, we are brought to you by Discover. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned. At the end of your first year, Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. All right, coming up next, we've got some people. There's a group of people in media and that are on social media and do sports media that are very upset and very bothered by a situation in the NFL. So here we go again. Somebody is in the news, not for good reasons, and we'll tell you who next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon, I'm Dan Byer, and we have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up later on, about 20 minutes from now, somebody got some surprisingly good news in the world of football. So we'll get to that here on FSR. Right now, we've got some good news. Joel Klatt joining us on Fox Sports Radio, Fox College Football Analyst. He will be on the call in Indianapolis between Michigan and Iowa. It's the Big Ten Championship game. Joel, what's happening? How's everything? How's your Friday?
It's going well. How are you guys, man? What's going on?
Super good. Super good.
Hanging out. I wanted to actually ask you, first go back before we went ahead and looked forward to this weekend. We were talking with Brady on Monday just about the scene, how it played out just watching on TV. LeVar and I were saying on television, the scene in Ann Arbor looked, I don't want to say magical. There was just something different about it.
Magical was good.
And Brady pointed it out and said it was awesome. You called the game. You were there as well, too. What was your takeaway or what was your feeling in the moment seeing what was happening there between Michigan and Ohio State?
Well, it was certainly one of the best environments that I had ever seen. And largely just because of the magnitude of the game, which, you know, big games are always great. But then there was just the entire storyline of the rivalry and how one-sided it had become in the last decade and the narrative around Jim Harbaugh, all of it, you know. And then the style in which that they were thoroughly dismantling this Ohio State team, you know, kind of going back to really Jim Harbaugh's roots. The snow, like everything about it. And then finding out that 110,000 might fit in the stands, but I never knew that the field at Michigan Stadium could fit 80,000, yeah, which is amazing, right? Because, like, it was packed. And, you know, I was taking videos up there of just – it's a scene I'll always remember. It was one of the great scenes that I've ever been a part of in any sport, and it was phenomenal. I got to tell you, There was a couple of moments during commercial breaks that, you know, I always jot down notes about just like, you know, what adjustment I think this team should make or not make. And at one point in the second half, I jotted down in my notebook, I was like, I just said no passes for Michigan. And I've never said that, right? I mean, this is not a 3A high school football game where it's like, hey, just don't throw the ball and you'll be fine. Like, it was that dominant at the line of scrimmage. And again, I think that lent itself to the scene of just this team getting over the hump, and you could just see the momentum piling up, in particular with that run game in the second half.
You know, Joel, Michigan's ranked second now in the college football playoff rankings. If they win this weekend in the Big Ten Championship, they're in. Are they the second best team in your opinion, in your mind, and maybe the team that has the best shot of knocking off Georgia?
Well, at this point, yes. I mean, you know, a lot of people are talking about Alabama right now, and as good as Bryce Young and Will Anderson are, and some of those wide receivers, Alabama is really suspect on the line of scrimmage, in particular on the offensive side. I mean, Brady not scoring a point in the Iron Bowl through three quarters—that's problematic. And, you know, everyone's trying to talk about and make this matchup about, well, this Bama offense against Georgia's defense. I don't see it. Now, they're probably going to come out and play much better than what they have over the last few weeks, but I just don't see it. And the way that Michigan dismantled Ohio State, yes, at this point, right now, Michigan is easily the second best team and easily has as good of chance as anybody to knock out Georgia, in particular with this notion. I don't quite understand. Does Georgia think that they're going to just roll to the national championship with Stetson Bennett quarterback? And listen, he's done a really nice job, and I don't want to take anything away from him, but this is like having me quarterback your team to a national championship. It's like, he's a walk-on. I was a walk-on, right? Like there's a point in time in which you're going to have a quarterback step up and be the reason that your team has success, in particular if you're facing a team like Michigan, because they're going to force you into that moment. And listen, Stroud was up to that. He played unbelievable in the face of pressure last week. It's just the fact that their defense couldn't get off the field. So We'll see. Brady, I actually think that, like, when I'm looking at this, I'm like, man, does Michigan have a great chance to win the national championship? You know, it's one thing. Going into last week, it was like, you know, hey, they're never going to beat Ohio State, are they? And now all of a sudden that narrative has flipped so quickly that if they can take care of business and get in, I think that they've got a decent shot to be back here in Lucas Oil Stadium. What is it, January 10th or whenever the date is, that Monday night, to potentially win the national championship, which I think is crazy.
You got to go through the playoff, but as a former tenor, I got to say, and just, you know, you could pick me apart if you want. When you have a aftermath of that type of a win against an Ohio State, that emotional letdown, some people may not realize it can be handled. It can happen one or two ways. It could play out. Either you surge and you become that much better off of it, or you have an emotional letdown and you're susceptible. I think this is a matchup issue for Michigan going into this game against Iowa. Now, you got to call this game this past weekend. You'll go into this game and call this one. But when you look at it, this offensive line can block any defensive front. This running game can come to the show as well. They got a quarterback that can command, you know, what needs to take place. And more importantly, they have a defense that can cause turnovers. They can match up well up front against Michigan. They can tackle the ball, and they can generate turnovers. Don't you think this is a very, very dangerous moment for Michigan in the sense that we're looking at a team that does have the opportunity to be the best outside of Georgia going into this game, but could ultimately slip and fall this week?
Well, that's always a concern. There's no doubt. And that's bore out through history. Even this year, remember, it was this Iowa team that you're speaking of that couldn't handle the enormity of beating Penn State, having the emotional win, and rising to number two in the
polls.
And getting beat the next week by Purdue and kind of thoroughly dismantled. And then they went out the next week and got absolutely hammered by Wisconsin and had a two-game losing streak. Michigan State couldn't handle the enormity of beating Michigan and the emotion of that day that we were at. And then the next week rolled out and lost. So, you know, this happens. I remember a few years ago when Ohio State and Penn State played that emotional overtime game. I believe it was overtime with JT Barrett and Saquon Barkley and the horseshoe. And I want to say that both of them lost the next week. I know that Ohio State did at Iowa. I think Penn State did as well. But it is a real thing. And it's something that you've got to address. It's something that you've got to talk about. Jim Harbaugh did not shy away from it with his team this week, talking about the 1980 U.S. Hockey team, you know, and saying, like, listen, yeah, they beat the Russians, but no one would have cared. Maybe they would have, but no one would have cared if they didn't also clean up and also win the gold medal game. Mm-hmm. I think that was a great analogy for him to bring up. And then I also would say this, and you guys, I think, will agree with me, is that generally that happens on teams where the player leadership might not be quite as strong, and they're more coach-led teams than they are player-led teams. Because let's say Aiden Hutchinson is who we think he is from an emotional standpoint and from a leadership standpoint, then the standard of the team is not held externally, it's held internally. And so then those practices are going to be Aiden Hutchinson's standard, not some standard that's set out by the College Football Playoff Committee or whatever it is, right? So, and I think the same thing about Hassan Haskins, who's been a great leader for them, or Brad Hawkins, or Stuber or Vastardis up front on their offensive line, or Josh Ross, their linebacker, or Dax Hill. Jim Harbaugh talks constantly about how this team has been so different, their level of focus, their love for each other. And so if you're a Michigan fan, you're hoping that that carries the day and that the internal standard that they hold themselves to is going to carry the day and that they won't overlook Iowa and they will understand that this is for a championship, and it's not just some game after an emotional win. It's a championship environment, and a trophy is on the line, a berth in the playoff is on the line, and I think that should probably get the attention of everyone involved. Having said that, I think this game comes down to one thing. Cade McNamara, if he's turned the ball over and thrown three or four picks, then Iowa's going to have a chance. And if not, Iowa has shown that if they don't get those turnovers, they don't beat anybody. So this, you know, that's really where the game kind of boils down to.
Joel Klatt joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, Fox College Football Analyst. Get him on Twitter at Joel Klatt. He'll be on the call Big Ten Championship game, 8 Eastern time tomorrow night on Fox between Michigan and Iowa. This is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on FSR. Now, Joel, you strike me as somebody who's really into preparation, totally prepared, no stone unturned. So I got to ask you how you feel knowing that you were probably, like the rest of us, had no idea that Brian Kelly was from Louisiana. Like how did that land with you hearing the accent and realizing that you've been told a lie here for all these years covering college football?
Oh, man, that was such a bad look. It was just such a bad look. I mean, all of it. And, you know, I've listened to you guys this week because I wanted to know, you know, what Brady's thoughts were, as a lot of people, about the whole situation. And I think Brady hit the nail on the head. I would say that, listen, our sport is broken. The structure of our sport is broken. When you have a sport like ours, which is built for everyone to behave in their own best interest at all times, then you're going to have situations like this, whether it's players, coaches, programs, administration, conferences. This is the type of stuff that you get. You know, the NFL at least has a calendar where they've got some roadblocks built in and some bumpers built in with tampering clauses and all these other things that help, I think, minimize the emotional impact of things like hiring and firing and when guys can do it. But when you've got early signing day, which, by the way, I still don't agree with. I think the early signing day is stupid. By the way, everyone laments that these kids – college kids have to make a decision about the NFL so soon or quickly after a national championship game. And yet we enact a policy in which we make high school kids decide about their college future right after their state championship games. It's so stupid. People involved in college football can't even see, you know, 5 feet in front of their face. But regardless, it lends itself to this situation where you've got Lincoln Riley not being probably entirely truthful about the timing of everything that happens with USC, or Brian Kelly having to do something that just looks totally shady and makes you fall in love even more so with Notre Dame, even though that kind of makes me choke a little bit. Sorry,
oh,
Brady. But it's like,
you love the gold helmets. You played in a gold helmet. You love it.
I told you on this show, like, I didn't want to like Notre Dame. I grew up in Colorado. It was a clip. Rocket didn't take that punt back, right? Like, I don't want to like Notre Dame. I went there this year. I'm walking around campus, and I was like, damn it. I love this place. It's amazing.
Mm. Can I ask you this, though? Because, you know, with everything that's been accelerated since Brian Kelly's decision to resign and leave and take the LSU job, they've now hired Marcus Freeman as their head coach. And part of me feels like it was a little bit reactionary to this senior class's opportunity to play for a national championship, because they're not out of it. They still have a shot. Let's say Bama loses, and then any combination of Michigan gets upset or Cincinnati gets upset. Do you see them in some scenario like that sliding in, or do you look at them sitting there at 6 right now with only one loss and say, look, as great as their season has been, there's just maybe too much in the air now with with what's happened in the past week, or just based on what you've seen on film, you don't feel like they would slide into that situation?
No, listen, I mean, this is a wild year, Brady. I think that they've got a shot. Now, granted, they're going to have some craziness happen. I actually believe that the team that they need to lose is Oklahoma State. Or Michigan, right? But Oklahoma State is the one that they need to have lose. Because even if Cincinnati loses, like, I know that Cincinnati wouldn't be a Group of Five champion, but they've got the head-to-head loss. which, and so at that point, your record is basically the same. You've got an extra game for Cincinnati that they will have been forced to play. So I think it would be hard to include Notre Dame over Cincinnati just because Cincinnati lost now when Cincinnati went to your house and beat you there. So if I'm Notre Dame, I'm hoping that Michigan loses. I'm hoping that Alabama loses. I'm hoping that Oklahoma State loses. And in that scenario, then yes, I think that they can get into the dance. Having said that, I agree wholeheartedly with you on the timing of it. It was reactionary. Not that Marcus Freeman's not a qualified guy, but I don't think that in a normal course of a coaching search that that's the guy you would have landed on to be the next head coach at Notre Dame. He's only been there for 1 year, and there are more qualified candidates. So this was an emotional move based on how everything went down, which, again, is more the fault of the structure of the sport. So having said that, listen, I hope that they have a lot of success, but I think what they're trying to do is prove to the committee that they are still intact, if you will, and it's not just a total fire drill, and that the committee can't say, well, you lost your coach, so we're not going to include you, because they feel like they've buttoned it up, and you've got the videos, and you've got Tommy there, and you've got the whole coaching staff. It's the second time now that we've seen LSU poach a coach, and then no one goes with him. Saban in the late 90s was the same deal. So it is fascinating, though, Brady. And I know you like Marcus, and I know you like everybody involved there.
Yeah.
But I think that you're right. I think it was an emotional decision and a quick decision. Let's just say this. If Notre Dame were at this point 10-2 and not 11-1, I don't think Marcus Freeman's your coach, and I don't think that they have a coach hired yet.
Interesting. It is get him on Twitter, at Joel Klatt. He is the Fox Sports college football analyst, the lead analyst there. Does a phenomenal job.
You did hear that. Joel said he listens to our show all week. You did hear that, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to hear what Brady had to say.
Yeah.
Everybody Brady wants to hear what Brady has
Brady
to say.
Always encourages me not to be emotional.
Yeah.
You know, he's like,
that's sarcasm.
Like, under the collar.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I got emotional. I think, like,
no,
there's a
didn't.
Lot of.
That's why I wanted to listen. I wanted to listen. Yeah. It would be easy to do that.
You dismantled him in a very professional manner.
Yeah.
He backed me up, though, by faking a Southern accent in Baton Rouge.
We all hail now in Louisiana, the great state of Louisiana.
I do declare.
I say, we're going to go get some beignets with my family after this.
For $95 million? I mean, come on.
He was laying it on.
Hey, Joel knows this.
How do you want me to talk? You want me to learn a different language?
Joel, have fun tomorrow night, man. We'll be watching. Should be a fun game and a fun watch. You and Gus kill it, man.
They said they have Rosetta Stone for Louisiana dialect, Joel. So.
Safe travels, y'all.
Make sure
travels,
you get that.
That's 100%.
Have fun, bro.